Continue to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We'll spend some time talking about gentleness this evening, and then next week we'll wrap up our series on the fruit of the Spirit by talking about self-control. Of course, the fruit of the Spirit we're mentioning here is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And there Paul says that you are to be full of the fruit of the Spirit and not give your life over to the works of the sinful nature. So he compares and contrasts the two. Essentially, in a phrase or a statement, what we're going to talk about tonight is simply this: by being gentle, by allowing the fruit to grow gentleness in us, we will position ourselves to demonstrate the love of Christ. Pretty simple and straightforward. By allowing the Spirit to grow gentleness in us, we will position ourselves to demonstrate the love of Christ to others. There it is. We can go ahead and go home. No, you're not that fortunate. We're going to keep talking. This morning we had a very good conversation in the Bible class that I was teaching. And it had to do with spiritual growth. Essentially, how do you measure growth, spiritual growth? We were looking at Hebrews chapter 6, where the Hebrews writer talks about maturing in the faith. As a matter of fact, he talks about going from being people that are desiring and requiring milk to going on to solid food, the meatier teaching of the word. And he says that's where you should be, but you have not matured like you ought to have matured. So how do we measure spiritual growth? How do we measure spiritual maturity? Do we do so by church attendance? Perhaps that's one way that people are here for times of worship, are here for Bible class. Is that a sign of spiritual maturity? Is it how many people we're helping? Is that a sign of spiritual maturity? Is it the amount of money that you give? Is that a demonstration of spiritual maturity? Of course, all of those things can be marks of spiritual maturity. But what really is the measuring stick? I would say that as we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, one very important measuring stick, and one that perhaps we forget from time to time when it comes to spiritual maturity, measuring it, is can one see the fruit of the Spirit being grown and harvested in life? So is one becoming more loving? Are you becoming more loving? Are you becoming more kind? Are you becoming more patient? Are you becoming more giving, more selfless, demonstrating self-control? And so are these kind of things taking place in your life? One thing we said this morning is that so much of Christianity and spiritual maturity is about not arriving, but becoming. And what we mean by that is we never become just exactly who God has called us to be. None of us have just cornered the market on this life in Christ. All of us are maturing. All of us are growing. So in truth, we all are called to continue to submit our lives over to God so that the Spirit can do its work in our life. All of us can become more kind. All of us can become more loving. And so it's so important that we continue to reflect on how we're doing in allowing the Spirit to cultivate this fruit in our life. William Cavanaugh had an article that was talking about the relationship of church and culture, specifically in the realm of politics. But he started off the article, and this is all I want to talk about, is his introduction to the article. One of the things that he noted is he had heard from someone one time that 90% of all sermons could be whittled down to two words. Those two words were try harder. And he actually had a problem with that idea, and it troubled him that this man said that 90% of sermons could be whittled down to these two words, try harder. conventional wisdom might say that, okay, try harder makes sense. But I think as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, that runs against the grain of that conventional wisdom, try harder. It doesn't mean, don't hear me saying that because it runs against the grain to try hard, it means do nothing. But what we're saying is when it comes to love, when it comes to patience, when it comes to faithfulness, all of these things, these are in fact fruit of the Spirit. They're not necessary fruit of our hard work or our diligence. These are things that God is doing in us. Perhaps an image or a way of thinking about this would be that we partner with God in allowing these fruits to be grown in our life. So it's not simply about just sitting on our hands and saying, okay, God, I've made myself available for you to do your work. But in some way, and I think we need to use wisdom in this, in some way we actually partner with God in growing these fruit in us. And so it's maybe not try harder. It's definitely not do nothing, but it's three words, partner with God in this process. So tonight we're talking about gentleness. I know for me, I need a lesson on gentleness. I can think of different conversations with Sarah that quickly turned from a conversation to an argument where I didn't demonstrate gentleness. I was disappointed with the words that I used. I said things that I regretted. Perhaps you can relate to that in one way or another. This past, just after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, our family, we were up in Ohio, and we took a kind of a family getaway and did some skiing up in northern Michigan. So I love to ski. I love snow skiing. It's just a ton of fun. So my sister, they've got two girls, and they were the two girls were just going to be kind of learning how to ski. And so they were going to kind of be taking it slow in the morning. They weren't just in a real big hurry to get over to the slopes. But as soon as we woke up, like, I was ready to get to the slopes. And but my sister and her family, they were just kind of taking it easy. Well, I had thought we all were going to leave at 8 in the morning. So I get up at 8 in the morning, start getting all my clothes on, just getting ready. And I'm looking at it. It's like 7:50, and they're still in bed. And I'm thinking, what in the world is happening right now? And about 7:55, her husband gets up and starts making breakfast. And I was like, how are you going to do breakfast in 5 minutes? This is not going to work. And I am literally at this point got all my gear on, like ready to leave. And they are just all rolling out of bed. They turn the TV on, he's making bacon. He's like, do you want some bacon? No, do you not see? Like, it's time to go. And I was just angry. I'll be honest. And so my sister here, you know, we're grown adults now. And I remember just confronting her thinking, we said 8 o'clock. And she's like, oh, well, I didn't know that that was for all of us. I just thought maybe that was for you. I was like, so how are we going to do the two-car thing? And started bringing all this up. And I was kind of embarrassed in that moment. But I needed some gentleness at that time because she was crowding out our skiing time, and it wasn't cool. So my only point is that I think we all need a dose of gentleness from time to time. So I will just ask you, have you said something to someone, maybe even you loved just in a big way? Have you said something you regret, or have you acted in a way that's unbecoming of a Christian? Have you been impatient with someone? Have you called someone a name and then immediately regretted it? Maybe it's a cashier at Walmart. Maybe it's someone that you've spent half of your life with. I think we all need gentleness in our lives. When we're not gentle, we often belittle people. We don't demonstrate that care for people like we saw with Jesus and demonstrating care with others. We might try to overpower them, or we might not show to them the dignity that they deserve. We all need gentleness. So gentleness is a very simple definition of it, is strength under control. An image for this might be you think of just a huge horse, right? A horse that just could barrel someone over if it wanted to, but the horse is tame. And so this horse may have all kinds of strength. But at a simple word, at a simple nudge, the horse will be obedient to its master. That's a picture of strength under control. Just a huge horse that is tame. We see gentleness with Jesus. We're going to look at two different passages. The first one's from Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. It's a passage that Bob read for us this morning at the conclusion of our service. And then we're going to look at Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. So the first passage is Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. And just to remind you, what we're thinking about here is the gentleness of Jesus. And so let's look at this passage together. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset or attitude as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Some translations there may be something to be grasped, held onto. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge or confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So in this passage here, written by Paul to the church at Philippi, we see gentleness. We see it in the Lord. First of all, he starts off by saying that our attitude, our mindset should be like Jesus. Take note of the life of Jesus. This is how you are to think. This is how you're to act. First of all, Jesus possessed incredible power, right? Verse 6, who being in very nature God. He possessed all of this power, the power of the Almighty, but he let go of that power. Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So in some sense, his power, his authority was subservient to the purposes of his Father. So what does that mean? Paul explains it here in this passage. Jesus says obedience to the Father took on this form. He made himself nothing. God in the flesh, the one who is in very nature God, made himself nothing. He became a servant. Perhaps we get the picture of John 13 in our minds when Jesus bends down and washes the disciples' feet, strength under control. He was made in human likeness. He took on flesh like we have. He thought like we think. I mean, yes, he's God, but think about Hebrews, right? He's going to face temptations like we faced, yet it's not going to sin in the face of those temptations. He humbled himself by being obedient to the Father, to the point of death. He's going to go to the cross. One of the favorite things, or favorite hymns to me, one of my favorite hymns, is He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels, right? We love that song. That is strength under control. Just like that, it could have stopped what was happening to him. But again, in being obedient to the Father, he goes to the cross out of love for me and for you. So this was a demonstration of his gentleness, as he possessed an enormous amount of strength. The kind of strength that we're talking about here is something that our human minds can't get around, right? The strength, this power, is the very power of God. That's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. That's the kind of authority, that's the kind of power, but he chose to be obedient to the Father, doing these things that are mentioned here in Philippians chapter 2. He took on the very nature of a servant. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a Roman cross. That's strength under control. The other passage is Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. When we think about the gentleness of Jesus, this may not be the first passage we would go to, but I think it says something very interesting about the gentleness of Jesus. Of course, the first passage that may come to mind is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. We're not going to go there tonight, but that's a good one to keep in mind as well. So Matthew 12, verses 15 through 21. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Jesus had been healing people. He had been showing people the power of God, performing miracles. So it continues on here. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. I want you to hear what a commentator had to say about this passage. He said it much better than I could say it. Jesus Christ was the sort of person in whom Matthew saw no tendency to discourage or oppress people. He did not break down men and women under a withering blast. He was the ultimate encourager. The bruised reed personality was safe with him, and the smoldering wick faith could be revived in his presence. Although he confronted sin mightily and had no patience with hypocrites, he would bear with the wounded and weak souls gently until he nurtured them back to their spiritual health. I think that's powerful. A gentle attitude A gentle attitude is like in relationship building is what good materials are for building a house. It's imperative to have a gentle attitude. So gentleness in the way of Jesus, sort of in summary, is to show care to all people. Now, that doesn't mean that at times you don't get frustrated or have anger or righteous indignation or whatever you want to call it. That's not what we're saying, because we saw that with Jesus. But our default mode, if you want to put it that way, is gentleness towards people. I believe that's what we saw with Jesus. We have the ability to speak the truth in love, right? We're really good about speaking the truth oftentimes, or maybe I'll just speak for myself. I can really speak the truth well, but do I speak the truth in love? That's a whole nother thing, and it's key to gentleness. We can participate, this is gentleness in the way of Jesus, we can participate in important conversations by listening as intently as we speak. All right? A lot of times we get the speaking part, but it's the listening part that we struggle with. But this gentle attitude in the way of Jesus is to listen as intently as we speak. I'm going to do a little visual aid here. This is going to get a little bit messy, but I promise it's just water. It'll dry right up. So we get bumped a lot in life, right? What I mean by getting bumped in life is for so much of life, things are just going along really smoothly. Everything is great. The sun is shining. We have a full tank of gas. Bank account is looking good. Relationships are really good. And just in the midst of all of that goodness, everything is just great, something happens, right? Perhaps we're in a grocery store, HEB or Walmart or whatever the case, and the cashier says something to us that we don't appreciate, and what comes out of our life? We get bumped. What is it that comes out? Something's going to come out, right? That's wet and cold. Right? Maybe with our spouse, they say something that we just came sort of out of left field, perhaps. We weren't expecting it. Perhaps we didn't like what they said, so we get bumped. And what's going to come out? Something's going to come out at that point when we get bumped. All right? What is it going to be? Is it going to be something that's gentle, or is it going to be something that is full of wrath? Is it going to be a word that cuts for parents, right? Kids become teenagers is what I hear, and they may do something that we're not real happy with. We're going to get bumped, right? You're going to get bumped. So what's going to come out when you get bumped? It's just water. It will dry up, I promise. We're going to get bumped all kinds of different ways. I'm thinking about driving. Someone cuts us off. It happens all of the time. 183, right? Someone's going to cut us off. We get bumped. What's going to come out? We get it. We get the idea. So in life, we get bumped all the time, right? It's just not smooth sailing all the time. We wish it was smooth sailing all the time, but the case is that it's not. My question is, what is our heart full of? What is our life full of? When we get bumped, is it going to be words that cut? Is it going to be an anger that causes us to say something that is going to sever that relationship? Is what, and this is important, just thinking about talking to someone on the phone or someone that we may not know if they know Jesus or not. When we get bumped, how we respond, could it possibly cause them either to come to know Jesus more or come to say, whatever that person has, I don't want it? What is going to come out of our lives? And the question is, or the big idea here is, what we're putting in here is happening right now, right? It's happening in those quiet moments. What are we putting in our life? Or a better way to put it is, what are we allowing God to grow in our life? Is it love? Is it kindness? Is it gentleness? Is it patience? Are we allowing the Spirit to fill us up with the fruit that we so desperately need, like gentleness? Because what we said at the beginning is, by allowing the Spirit to grow gentleness and gentleness in us, we'll position ourselves to demonstrate the love of Christ to others. Isn't that what we want to do? To demonstrate the love of Christ to others? What is our heart? What is our life full of? Is the Spirit growing fruit within us? If there's anybody here tonight that needs the prayers of this group of people that's here tonight, we would be so glad to pray with you or for you. If there's anybody here that is ready to be baptized, we would love to assist you and witness you make that decision. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.